Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings that keeps following us. Thank you for making all things to work together for our good. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the doors you have opened for us that no man can shut. We thank you for problems you have solved in our lives. Thank you for every prison of darkness that have captured our lives and destinies that you have broken into pieces. Thank you, Lord. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making us stronger than our weaknesses and than our enemies. Thank you for showing us your truth that are able to set us free and keep us in freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for helping us to draw more closer unto yourself. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you have taught us since we started this topic on persecution. Thank you, Lord. We are here this evening to learn more. Speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Help us to understand your word more than before in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our request. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We're going to continue from where we stopped last Tuesday. We are gradually coming to the end of this topic called persecution. Before we move, after this topic, we'll move to another one by God's grace. Now, we're going to look at another point. That says, pray. Pray to avoid persecution if possible. And after that, we're going to look at another point that also says, use wisdom to avoid stirring up unnecessary persecution. Use wisdom to avoid stirring up unnecessary persecution. Yeah, so I think we should be able to deal with those 2 points. Yeah, but if after these 2 points we still have time, we may move to a subtopic that says God will judge your persecutors. Yeah, so let's start from the point that says pray to avoid persecution if possible. Yeah, I know some of you may think there's no need to pray to have there's no need to pray that God should not allow us to enter into persecution. Yeah, but as I said during the past classes, that that persecution is a normal thing to our Christian faith, and we should embrace it and overcome while we go through persecution. That is, make sure that you please the Lord while you go through persecution, because persecution is mainly to separate you from the Lord. That's the main purpose of persecution, to separate you from the Lord, to destroy your relationship with God, to make you backslide. Yeah, to make you compromise with sin. Yeah, to make you stop what God has called you to do. Yeah, so persecution usually centers around separating the believer from the Lord. So when I say that when we go through persecution, we should overcome. Overcoming in that context doesn't mean you should start to fight your persecutors. You should start to fight them face to face. That is, human persecutors. Yeah, that's not what the word overcoming means in that context. It means that while you go through the persecution, don't allow it to affect your relationship with God. Don't allow him to affect your joy as a believer. Don't allow the persecution to affect your faith and trust in God. Don't allow the persecution to affect your commitment to God, your service to God. Yeah. So that is how you will overcome the persecution. Yeah, because you have identified what the devil wants to use the persecution to do in your life. So you not allowing the devil to succeed in his plan is the victory. Is your victory. Yeah, like some people were told to deny Jesus, to renounce their faith in Jesus, or they would have them beheaded. And yet they said they would prefer to be beheaded than to deny their faith in Jesus. So now, in the face of the persecutors, were holding the sword, or the merchant, or the cutlass, it will look like these people, they're a bunch of fools. These people are stupid, so you prefer to just die quickly, when you could just deny Jesus and live long. In the face of the persecutors, they would think the decision of that Christian is foolish, and they would think they won. They would think they prevailed, whereas it is that Christian who prevailed. Yeah, it is the Christian who had prevailed. Yeah, so we overcome persecution by not allowing the persecution to separate us from the Lord. That is how we overcome persecution. Now, but here we are looking at praying that God will not allow us to be persecuted. So I want to clarify this one, because you may be confused. You may be confused because earlier I had said persecution is normal and everyone should be ready for it. Everyone should welcome it whenever it comes. Yeah. But you should remember what we also dealt with last week. Maybe I should remind you. We talked on fleeing from persecution, and I gave you a lot of scripture verses, yeah, which I'm not going to repeat because I expect that you jot them down. Yeah, I expect that you jot those verses down. So I give you a lot of verses, or I show you from many verses how even Jesus himself flee from persecution, and the apostles, they also flee from persecution. Yeah, and it was not because they were afraid to die, it was just because they knew that was the right thing to do. They knew they had to escape from the hands of the enemy, they had to run, so that they would not die untimely. So they knew that was not the right time for them to die. And they knew by the Holy Spirit that they should leave that place, so that the enemy would not cut short their lives. Yeah. So still in that knowledge, we can also pray. Since I established last week, there are some persecutions that God wants us to run away from and not just embrace it, mostly because maybe those persecutions were going to cut short our lives, and it wasn't yet time for us to die. So there are some persecutions that God himself don't want us to go through. Yeah. So we can pray that God not allow us experience those types of persecution. Yeah, because they are not according to God's will. Yeah, they are not according to God's will. If you want to know those examples in the Bible where God's people have to run away from persecution, including Jesus himself, have to run away from persecution. Go and listen to the previous Bible study class, the one of last Tuesday. Yeah, so we can pray that God deliver us, or God stop persecution. I mean, we can pray that God deliver us from persecution that we should not experience, that we should not go through, and that God stop persecutions that we should not go through from coming to us. Yeah, we can actually pray those kinds of prayers. And it's not that we are scared of death. It's just because we understand by the Spirit of God that there are persecutions that we should not go through. So let us look at scriptures that support this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1-2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You can see this book was a letter from Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. Yeah. And in the letter, he was telling them that they should pray for him and his team. Yeah. Number one, that the word of the Lord in their mouth should have free course and be glorified. That is, God should give them utterance, such that whenever they open their mouth to speak about Jesus, to preach the gospel of Jesus, they will have utterances and they will be able to speak with power. Yeah, and then number two, he said, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You can see that. Unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Yeah, so what he was saying indirectly is, pray that we escape persecution, or pray that God deliver us from persecution. Yeah, that's just it. Yeah, pray that God deliver us from persecution, or pray that God does not allow us to get persecuted. Because persecution will always come from fellow human beings. Yeah. Any persecution that comes from evil spirit is not persecution, it's just spiritual attack. Yeah. Persecution is when your fellow human being attack you physically, not even attack you with terms, with voodoo or witchcraft, or occultism. Yeah, you can't call that one persecution. That one is a spiritual attack. For instance, if someone is sending spiritual arrows into your life, spiritual arrows of death, or spiritual arrows of sickness or poverty, that is not persecution. Though it's a human being that is sending those arrows, that doesn't make it persecution. It is spiritual attack, and you can fight back. You can send those arrows back to the senders. Yeah, because it's just spiritual attack. Yeah, so you attack them back spiritually. Yeah, as the Holy Spirit guides you, with the fire arrow to you, you send it back to them. Yeah. And you also defend yourself spiritually. You defend yourself with the shield of faith. And then you fire your own arrow, or you send the arrows back to them. Or you fire your own arrow, because we also have arrows. The Bible talks about the arrows of the Lord. You can search your Bible, you see there. God also have arrows. Yeah, so if they fire their arrows, you can fire your own back. Yeah. Yeah, but be careful when you are firing your arrows back. So make sure you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Yeah, because God doesn't want us to pray for the death of human beings. Yeah, He wants us to pray for their salvation, not for their death. Yeah. So while you are fighting back agents of Satan, that is human agents of Satan, while you're fighting them back, make sure you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because you cannot pray for their death except the Holy Spirit is telling you to pray like that. Yeah, which is very rare that the Holy Spirit will tell you to pray for the death of an human agent of Satan. Yeah, it must be maybe God have already judged that person to death. Then he may allow you to pray in a judgmental way. Yeah. So that is why you have to be led by the Spirit when you are doing spiritual warfare. Yeah, because the way you should fight back must be according to the way the Holy Spirit wants. Yeah, so that is why most times I pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Spirit because I don't want to go out, I don't want to be found praying in the way that is going to affect my relationship with God. Yeah, so even if I'm under attack, what I do is I pray in the Spirit. Yeah, against the attack. So, and the Holy Spirit, since I'm praying in the Spirit, so the Holy Spirit knows what to do. If the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit wanted to kill them, then He would go ahead and kill them, whoever they are. Yeah, and if the Holy Spirit wanted to scare them, just make them afraid. Yeah, so that they will now surrender and repent. The Holy Spirit knows how to do that. Yeah. And if He wants to save their souls, He also knows how to do that. So, but what I know is that once I pray the Spirit against spiritual attacks, number one, I get my defense. And number two, I get the victory. Yeah, and I don't care whatever, I don't care about how the Holy Spirit does the victory. So if someone has to die, then let them die. because I'm not the one who kills them. It's the Holy Spirit, because all I did was I prayed in the Spirit, or I prayed as the Spirit led me to pray. So that is why you must have a very close relationship with the Holy Spirit. It will guide you to not pray amiss and to not pray witchcraft prayers. Yeah, it will guide you to not pray prayer that will make you commit sin. Yeah. So that is, by the way. So I was saying that when agents of Satan, that is the human agents of Satan, whether they are witches or they are wizards or they are witch doctors, when they attack you spiritually, that one is not persecution. That one is just spiritual attack. And you have to defend yourself in the place of prayer and fasting. Yeah. So you also have to fight back. Yeah. And the Spirit leads you. Yeah. But the persecution we have been talking about is the one that your fellow human beings confront you face to face, and they attack you physically, not that they attack you spiritually, they attack you physically. Yeah, like maybe with weapons, with physical weapons. Yeah. So that one is persecution. Yeah. And then from this verse we have read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2, we're going to see that Apostle Paul was telling the church of the Thessalonians that they should pray that God deliver them from evil men. Yeah, because there have been some unreasonable and wicked men that have been really troubling the life of Apostle Paul and the other missionaries with him. That is, they would confront them face to face to hurt them. Yeah. So we can pray that God deliver us from such kind of persecution. Yeah, and it's not that we are afraid of death when we pray like that. It's because we know that those many of such persecutions are not the will of God for us to go through them. We know that they are strategically organized by Satan to hurt us and to cut short our lives, so that we will not be able to continue to spread the good news of God's kingdom. Yeah. So if you are praying this kind of prayer, make sure you are not praying because you are afraid to die. If you are praying that God should deliver you from wicked men that want to kill you physically, attack you physically and kill you or hurt you, make sure you are not praying it out of fear of getting hurt or fear of death. Make sure you are praying it, you are praying that kind of prayer, because you know that your time to leave this world has not yet come, and you have a lot of work to do for the Lord. So that's the main reason why Apostle Paul was telling them to pray for him and his team. It was because they know that they still have a lot of places to go to preach the gospel. Yeah, they know that. So they wanted long life because they wanted to spread the gospel everywhere. They wanted to preach the gospel everywhere. That was why they wanted long life. Yeah, not because they were scared of death. Yeah, so the question is, why do you want long life? Yeah, why are you praying for long life? Is it so that you will have enough time to spread the good news about Jesus, to win many souls into God's kingdom? Or just because you so much love this world and the things in this world, and you want to enjoy more of the things in this world? Yeah, so make sure that your motive is correct when you're praying this prayer. Don't forget what Jesus said. I don't know. Let me look for that place. Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life shall lose it. And those who lose their life shall find it. Yeah, when he was talking about what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Yeah. I want to read that place for you. Praise the Lord. Okay. The network cut off the call. So let me read that place for you. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. From verse 23. Luke 9, from verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save him. Yeah, 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Yeah, so you can see that the kingdom of God is not for any Christian that is looking for long life just because they want to enjoy the pleasures and good things of this world. The kingdom of God is not for Christians like that. The kingdom of God is for Christians who are not trying to save their lives. Yeah, because they have already lost it to Jesus. And when those Christians desire long life, they are not desiring it for their personal benefit. They are desiring the long life for the benefit of others, for the benefit of souls that they believe God wants to use them to win into his kingdom. Yeah, so the kingdom of God is for Christians whose purpose or whose reason for desiring long life is for them to be able to bring more souls into God's kingdom. Not because they want to enjoy the good things and the pleasures in this earth. I hope you see the difference now. So if somebody like me is going to pray for long life, it's not because of any enjoyment or pleasures that is in this world that I want. It's because I believe I have not done enough for God's kingdom, especially in bringing souls and in discipling and training and mentoring those souls into becoming who God wants them to be. Yeah, so I believe I've not done enough of that. Yeah. So that is why I will be praying for long life. Not because I'm afraid to die. In fact, if you're afraid to die, it's mostly because your relationship with God is not okay. Any Christian that is afraid of death is or have serious issue in their personal relationship with God. Yeah, because that would mean that they are not certain where they are going when they leave this world. That is what it would mean. Yeah, but when your personal relationship with God is very, very correct and very, very right, then you won't be afraid of death. In fact, death will be an advantage because it's going to speed up you going to meet with the Lord. Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." They were saying every time he have the opportunity, every time he have opportunity to continue to live in this body, it is because Christ must be glorified through his life on earth. It is because he have a lot of work to do for Christ, for Jesus. Yeah, and then said, but if I die, it's gain. Yeah, because it will mean I'll go and rest, and I will now be able to talk with Jesus face to face. I will now be able to spend all the rest of eternity with Jesus. So then, for any righteous believer, is gain. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. So that is why I don't cry when a righteous believer dies. Yeah, I don't cry, and I don't even feel sad. Especially someone that I know. Praise the Lord. I hope you can hear me. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I hope you can hear me now. As I was saying, I said, somebody like me, I don't cry when a righteous believer dies. I don't even feel sorrowful. Yeah, especially when I'm sure that the person really walked with God and had a real and correct and right relationship with God. Yeah, I don't care at what age the person dies. I don't care. Yeah, because I believe death is gain. If there's anyone that hates this world, I don't think anyone else hates this world the way I hate this world. I hate this world a lot. Yeah, so to me, death is gain. Yeah, it's a way of being separated from all the evils. Yeah, and the demonic and satanic system that have conquered this world. And then you are now going to be with the Lord forever. There's nothing as beautiful as that. Yeah. So every Christian should see death as gain. Yeah. Not as a bad thing. Yeah. I know some of you might not have the same opinion with me. But that is the truth. Go read your Bible very well. Yeah, that's the truth. So it doesn't matter what age a Christian dies. What matters is, where is that Christian going? Yeah, and how has that Christian been living his or her life before death came? Yeah. So when we pray for long life, it is not because we are afraid of death. So if you have been praying for long life because you are scared of death, you have to change that. That is not Christian. Yeah. That is wrong. Yeah, that is not Christian. That's not Christianity. It shows that something has been wrong with your relationship with God. Yeah, so we pray for long life because we believe that we still have a lot of work to do for God here on earth. Yeah, we still have purpose to fulfill for God here on earth. Yeah, and God is the one that determines when the job is done. Or maybe I should say when your job is done. So if God gives an assignment and you have been doing it for Him, and then maybe you did it for I don't want to specify the years. You did it for some number of years, and then God felt like your job is done. Then God can allow you to die. Yeah. So in some years back, we've had of Christians that they walked with God so much that they knew when they were going to die, and they were excited about it. And some of these people were very, very young, even younger than myself. They knew they were going to die. Yeah, and they were excited about it because God told them that their job is done. And you may be thinking, why would God tell a young person that his or her job is done? Well, you should go and ask God that. Yeah, you should go and ask God. Yeah, because we can't be wiser than Him. I think I had a testimony of a pastor who was deep into occultism. I don't know. I think I shared the video of that pastor on our platform. I don't know if I remember. He was deep into occultism and he was narrating how he got born again and how a very young woman, I think the lady was maybe in her 20s, how Jesus used that young woman. Though at that time, too, this man was deep in occultism, was also a young person. So he was narrating how that young woman was, how that young woman saved his soul, even while he was deep into witchcraft and occultism, whereas many, many pastors could not even look face to face at his eyes in those days when he was still serving Satan, because he was so powerful. He was loaded with demons and demonic powers. But this young girl brought all those powers down and saved, I mean, all the powers he had. Jesus used that very young girl to destroy all those powers and bring his soul out of the captivity of Satan to Jesus. And he was narrating that this young girl did not only save his soul, that he also went after many other occultic people, many other people like himself that were also deep in satanism. I'm talking of people that they have high rank in the kingdom of darkness. People that were deep, they were deep in Satan worship, in witchcraft, in occultism. He was narrating how Jesus used this same young girl to capture all of them one by one, that she would just go. It's more like she already knew where these people were. She would have received the address where they are at that time. She would receive, she would know who they are. She would know where they are. She would just walk to where they are. And once they see him, their powers disappear. I mean, once those occultic people see her, their powers will come down, and she will just win them for Jesus. And this pastor was narrating how she did that to like maybe 15 of them. And after some few years, maybe then Jesus told her that your job is done. I think the lady died maybe 24 years. Yeah, so Jesus sent her just to capture some very strategic souls. Many of those people she captured for Jesus, they are now very great ministers of God. And all of them, there's no how they will tell their salvation stories that they will not mention the name of this young woman. So after she had finished that job, Jesus told her, your job is done. So I'm taking you home. And she died. So I'm just giving you examples of people who knew even when they would die. And they were excited about it. Yeah. So Christians should not be people who are so afraid of death. If you are, because you're not supposed to be afraid of death. And whenever you pray for long life, you're not supposed to do that out of fear of death. Yeah, but out of knowledge that you still have many work to do for God on earth. Not that you just have the knowledge, but you know it by revelation. You know it by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And there's still a lot God wants to use you to do on earth, and that your time is not yet done. And when your time is done, you will also know it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that your time on earth is done. And God doesn't look at your hair when you want to take his, God doesn't look at the age of Christians when he would want to take them. He only look at their destiny, their calling, and then look at how much have they done. Have they done enough? So I just like, let me take time to clarify that. May God deliver any of you that still have fear of death. May God deliver you from the fear of death. In Jesus' name. So, let's continue. Let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So you can see here also, Apostle Paul was saying that Timothy should lead his church members because he was the bishop of a particular church. He was writing to him that he should lead the church members, his church members, to pray for those categories of people. He said prayer should be made for all men, including Christians, including even himself that wrote this letter. That everyone should live a peaceable life. When there is no persecution, there's going to be peace. I pray that you will live a peaceable life. In Jesus' name, because even God speaks from the midst of peace. God doesn't like troubles, but God causes troubles. Especially when he have to save souls, and he have to judge his enemies. But doesn't mean God loves trouble. God is a God of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. But he would love to cause trouble when he is fighting his enemies. Both his visible and invisible enemies. Because whenever you go out there to preach the gospel, you are a threat to Satan. So preaching the gospel is a war. Because you're trying to take from the prison of Satan a soul that is so precious to Satan. And Satan is not going to make it easy for you to take his children away from him. So that is why there's always trouble. When we do evangelism, though there may not be trouble in some cases, but there will be trouble in some other cases, especially when you come across people that don't want peace. People that may even slap you just for telling them, just for saying, can I tell you about Jesus? They may just slap you instantly for no reason. yeah, so there will be problems. Yeah, because we are contending with the God of this world. Yeah, we are contending with principality. And they hate Jesus. And they hate anyone that wants to, win souls, from their camp to Jesus' camp. So let us also look at the second point before we round off. Use wisdom to avoid stirring up unnecessary persecution. Use wisdom to avoid stirring up unnecessary persecution. Let us look at Proverbs 15 verse 1. Proverbs 15 verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirreth up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirreth up anger. Yeah, you know, some people, they are the ones who created persecution for themselves because they have a very bad attitude, bad character, and yet they call themselves Christians. Yeah. The way they responded to the unbelievers that wanted trouble made the trouble to escalate, and some of them even got injured. For instance, let's say you were in a place, and maybe you were going to talk about Jesus, or you were just maybe trying to promote justice. Yeah, maybe they do some things wrong in that place. And you as a Christian, you cannot tolerate injustice. And then you were speaking for justice. And then some unbelievers just stand up and then start shouting at you. Would you think you are? Why will you condemn what we've been doing? I'm going to hit you right now. Yeah. Now the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrong. In that case, you should give a soft answer, not that you also now start to shout, how dare you? You said you're going to hit me. Now try and hit me. Now, you may actually get seriously wounded. Yeah, because you are not wise. Yeah, instead of you to respond in a very quiet way, you blew up the whole atmosphere for Satan to have his way. A soft answer turned away wrong. Yeah. If you respond violently, the way the unbeliever is also bringing the violence, definitely probably is gonna happen, and you'll get hurt, and God will not defend you. The angels of God will not defend you. Yeah. Because you could have avoided the whole trouble by a soft answer, by a quiet response. Yeah, the same thing applies to how some people have jeopardized relationships, even their marriages. Yeah, because they couldn't give a soft answer. Yeah, a quiet response. I pray you will be wise in Jesus' name. The fact that you are trying to prove a point that is right doesn't mean you should do it in a foolish way. Yeah, the fact that you are trying to stand for justice doesn't mean you should be unwise in your dealings. Yeah, it doesn't mean you should start stepping on people's toes. Start being violent in your words, or start speaking with anger. Yeah, that's foolishness. In fact, you are not supposed to argue with unbelievers. You're not supposed to engage in argument with unbelievers. Yeah, that's not right. Yeah, so you just state your fact and leave them to God. God will continue from there. You let them know the truth and let them know what you stand for and leave the rest to God. Yeah, but when you now start engaging in arguments and unnecessary conflict, then you'll be creating a persecution that could have been avoided. I pray that you'll be wise in Jesus' name. So let us look at Proverbs, the same Proverbs 16, verse 7. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Yeah, can you see that? When your ways please the Lord, even your enemies will become at peace with you. In other words, it is wisdom to follow peace with all men. It is wisdom to follow peace with all men. It is wisdom to avoid stirring up unnecessary conflict, unnecessary trouble. Yeah, it shows that your ways are pleasing the Lord. Yeah. I pray that you will have this wisdom such that you'll be able to relate with even the most violent person. Yeah. Even the person everyone calls a lion. You'll be able to relate to that person without causing any trouble. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, very possible. Very possible. You can relate with all kinds of person through wisdom. Yeah, and there will be no issues at all. Let us also look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, agree with thine adversary quickly. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. So what does Jesus mean by that? What does Jesus mean by agree with thine adversary quickly? Whilst thou art in the way with him, is Jesus trying to say we should agree with the evil some human beings are doing? Of course not. Is he trying to say we should surrender to evil and ungodliness and wickedness? Of course not. What he's saying is that we should be wise. That is, you can look for times where you and the person agree. Yeah, everybody cannot be in perfect agreement. Yeah. For instance, now, there are people that they are very close to me, but we have the grounds where we agree. We don't agree on all grounds. Yeah. But we are not fighting. Yeah. I can talk to them anytime, even call them anytime. Yeah, even joke with them anytime. But we don't agree on all grounds. Yeah, we have grounds we disagree. And even they know that I don't agree with them on certain grounds. Yeah, they know that, and they are cool with that. And I am cool with that too. Yeah, so that is what Jesus meant. In that place, yes, that through wisdom you can look for grounds where you and your adversary can agree, and through that you can just walk peacefully with him. And you won't have any issue with him. Why many other people keep having issues with the same person? And they'll be surprised. Some of them will even call you and say, how are you able to really work with that man? How are you able to work with that woman? Because there are many things we just don't like about her. Yeah. So with wisdom, you can do a lot of things with your enemy. A lot through wisdom. And it's not that you are compromising. It's not that you are compromising your faith. It's not that you have found a common ground. Yeah, where you and the person can flow together without having any issue. Yeah, so that was what Jesus meant by when you are staying in the way with him, find that common ground and just walk with him like that, and then avoid unnecessary trouble. Yeah, I as a person have met a lot of people. I can't even list many people I have met with from different parts of the world. I've met a lot of people, and I can, up to now, I can reach out to any of them. Yeah, because we all them on the ground where I can't reconnect or talk to them. So which means there was no fight. Let me just summarize it like that. There was nothing like a fight. Yeah. So I can always reach out to them, and they can always reach out to me anytime. Yeah, but definitely I was not in agreement with them on many grounds. Yeah, but just stick to the ones we could work together. I hope you understand. So this kind of wisdom can help you to really avoid unnecessary persecution. Yeah, it can help you, and it will also help you to be able to win the souls of those people when the opportunity to win their souls come. But if you have just shut the door between you and such person, then how will you win the soul of that person later? It will be difficult or even impossible if you have, if you separated from them on the ground of fight and conflict. It will be hard for Jesus to use you to win their souls in the future. Yeah. And you may even need their help in the future. Yeah. I pray that you'll be wise. So let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18-21. Romans 12. In 18-21. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. You can see that. If it be possible, that is, try as much as you can. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Pray as much as you can. Do as much as you can to live peaceably with all men. Not compromising your faith. Not compromising your stand. Yeah. For instance, there are some people that your spirit may just not agree with. Yeah. But if they still come to you and they want to learn, teach them. Yeah, even though you don't agree with many things they do, you don't agree with how they live their lives or their ideology or philosophy of life. Yeah, but still try as much as you can to work peaceably with them. Yeah, try as much as you can. Yeah. Because God can still use you for them. And God may still use them for you. Yeah. Let us continue verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, what this verse mean by give place to wrath is that let whatever wants to happen, happen. But you don't retaliate. Yeah, let the enemy do whatever they want to do. But don't fight back. Yeah, let your enemy do their worst, but you don't fight back. Yeah, because there is someone who is going to fight for you. And that is the Lord. He says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. Yeah. Some of you probably have some people that you have not really shown them or told them what you stand for. Because they will not be happy about it. Yeah. And they may maybe do something that will affect you. The Bible teaches that you let everyone know what you stand for. Let everyone know that you stand for Jesus. You stand for the truth. You stand for righteousness. You stand for everything the Bible teaches. Yeah. And let those people do their worst. Yeah. Let them know what you stand for. Yeah. Let them know your principles, the divine principles that you live by. Yeah, let them know the standard that you live by. Yeah, and I don't care about what's gonna happen, because if they try to hurt you, God is going to fight for you. Yeah. God is going to fight for you. Yeah. If you are in a relationship and the relationship is affecting your spiritual life, affecting your personal walk with God, it is either because you have not really affirmed what you stand for in that relationship. You have not made known to the people or to the person your own principle. Yeah, your own principle, your own standard, what you stand for. Yeah, and what you don't stand for. Yeah, so when you have made your own principle known, you have made your standard known. Yeah, then the other person we also deal with you that way. Yeah, and you will have no issues with God. I pray that you'll be wise in Jesus' name. So in verse 20 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah, we don't have time. Let me look at, I think that's the last scripture. for today. So we are going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask me personally, or you ask on the group platform, on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time we have spent together in your presence. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us through your word. Thank you for your righteousness that you have revealed to us through the teaching of the truth. I ask that you help everyone to follow these lifestyles, even this way of life you are showing us from your word. Help everyone here to live that life. In Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you give us the wisdom to be able to live peaceably with all men, so that when the opportunity comes to win their souls, we will not hesitate to do that. Help us to learn the wisdom to even live peaceably with our enemies. And shine your light to them. And be able to avoid unnecessary persecutions. Oh Lord, teach us how to do this. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen.